Welcome back to the LifePoint Drivecast. This is Paul from Marion. Really thankful that you've chosen to join us today. We're going to be in Ruth chapter 3, verses 12 to 18. I'm going to read some of that for us. I'm going to start off with verse 12. Boaz says this, "Although it is true that I am a guardian redeemer of our family, there is another who is more closely related than I. Stay here for the night, and in the morning, if he wants to do this duty as your guardian redeemer, good, let him redeem you. But if he is not willing, as surely as the Lord lives, I will do it. Lie here until the morning." Then the morning comes, and Boaz gives her almost like a deposit, a security, to say, "Hey, I'm going to do what I've committed to do." In verse 15, he said also, "Bring me the shawl you're wearing and hold it out." When she did so, he poured into it 6 measures of barley and placed the bundle on her. Then he went back to town. One of the things I ended up really focusing in on this Sunday was the criteria of the Redeemer. In a kinsman, or as the NIV translation said it this morning in the devotional, the guardian Redeemer has to meet specific requirements. They have to be a family member, of course. There has to be a closeness in the familial relationship. Boaz here says that there's another closer. So that's be family. They have to have the resources. And so, there's complex laws in place, going back to the book of Leviticus, the books of Deuteronomy, in which God sets forward land ownership, which is really land stewardship. Of course, all the land is owned by God of the promised land, but God divides that land up among the tribes of Israel and then gives each family a portion of that land so long as they can trace their lineage, of course, back to Abraham. And so if then a family, as we see in Leviticus 25, or an individual gets into trouble, they can sell, quote unquote, their land to a family member or a neighbor, and that neighbor gains possession of it for up to 50 years. But what they really do is they gain the profit from what the land produces. And so a kinsman redeemer, if a family member has sold the land or sold out its profitability, that kinsman redeemer has to have the resources necessary to purchase back that land potential. And so we see then that the kinsman redeemer has to be a person of means financially. And we know that Boaz is. And then lastly, we see that the redeemer has to be willing. Boaz here mentions that there's another first in line, and if he's willing, he has the right to do so. But the question becomes, is he? Is that other Redeemer A willing? Does he have the resources? We already know he has the family connectivity. And so, man, does that point me to Jesus. We are connected to Christ. He took upon himself flesh. He becomes man. He's a divinity wrapped in humanity. The Word became flesh, as John says. Book of Philippians talks about he was equal with God, and yet allows himself to take upon himself the form of man. And so he is our kinsman in that sense. And then does he have the necessary means? And of course the answer is yes. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10 talks about, the blood of goats and bulls can never take away the sin of the world. It's not valuable enough. It can't cover our sin. But Christ, he covers our sin once and for all. A sacrifice was made, and then he seats himself at the right hand of the Father, according to the book of Hebrews. And so we see that Jesus has the means necessary to satisfy the penalty and the cost of our great rebellion against God. And then the question becomes, is he willing? Is he willing to redeem us? And praise God, he is willing. He is willing. He who knew no sin became sin so that what? We might become the righteousness of God. Jesus is willing to rescue us, to redeem us, to buy us back from the dominion of darkness in which we all once lived, according to the Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2. What an incredible blessing. And so with all of that in mind today, can we worship him? Can we not sell our birthright as Christians? As I believe Elimelech and Naomi do back in chapter 1, they walk away from the promises of God, trusting in the fleeting satisfaction of sin. How often do we forsake the promises of God that he would and does make us into new creations, that he would and does place his Holy Spirit inside of us, that He would and does grow within us the qualities of the Holy Spirit as laid forward in Galatians chapter 5. But how often do we walk away from those promises? We forsake them. We, quote unquote, sell our inheritance. And how incredible is it that Jesus is willing to purchase us, to redeem us, and to make us His own. What an incredible blessing that is. And so maybe you've been in a season where you've just been walking away from the Lord. The thing about that's interesting about the land laws, the land was still owned. Elimelech and his family line still had the family entitlement to that land, but they weren't able to reap the benefits of its produce. You and I, if we're in a season of walking away from the Lord, we have security in Christ. We cannot lose our salvation if we have truly attained it through the power of Christ. It's not us, but it's God who saves us, and we're secure in Christ. And yet there come times when we really neglect the salvation we've been given, but praise be to God, just as that land was still theirs, our salvation is still ours. But maybe there's some things that need to be confessed, that need to be brought out to the Lord to say, God, redeem this. I can't redeem this mess I found myself in, but Jesus, You can. And so if you're in that situation today, I want to encourage you to pray. Cast yourself upon the Lord. He will be gracious and merciful to you. I want to say thanks again for joining us on the DriveCast. We hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Let's go ahead and pray. Father, thank You that You have this wonderful plan in which You set forward our ultimate Redeemer, who is qualified, who is willing. He has the necessary resources, and then He proved His willingness by living, dying, and then living again, taking upon Himself the punishment for my sins. If we're in a season of walking away from the great promises that have been given to us, would we turn back? Would we return, key word of chapter 1? And would we confess our sins, repent of them, not just say, hey, I did this, but turn from them? And Jesus, would You redeem the situations we found ourselves in, where we have dishonored You, and we are in desperate need of restoration? So Lord, we love You. We submit these things to You. We praise You. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.